Eric last week.
Yeah.
Man, that was amazing. That was just awesome. I am so excited for 2016, and not just 2016. It's an easy way to say we're excited, but I'm just excited for now. And if this now lasts all the way to 2018, man, my sound is weird. The Phantom of the. Right? Echoey? I'll try a little bit longer and then I'll switch if I have to. But anyway, super excited about what Eric shared about impacting culture and how the church and the culture kind of mesh together and how we make that work and influence and all of those things. I'm not going to even try to do anything justice, but it was just amazing. If you weren't here, get the recording, because I'm probably going to referring to it for months, maybe years. It's just an awesome. When I heard him preach that, I was just like, man, that's where we're at. That's what we need. And so we're going to be really kind of focusing on that idea of how we are part of our culture. The idea of, I've always kind of understood it or used the phrase, in the world, not of the world. That we actually, this culture is our culture. Now there's all kinds of different parts to culture and all kinds of different things, but we're here and God has called us to this time and this place, and that we're supposed to bring Him in every way to everything. And how we do that is the endless challenge that we are faced with to walk out. So here we are, and I've been praying for this for a while, like, what's next? And I am going to take some time and go through kind of some of the stuff Eric shared, and because I've talked to a few people since then. I have three specific people ask the same question. Okay, how do we do that? You know, after Eric shared, okay, how do we do that? And so I've been praying into that, like, how do we do that? How do we... you know, one of the examples he uses that just sticks is the example of Daniel and how Daniel stayed true and his integrity as a godly man intact while serving an evil king. So how do we stay who we are while we're surrounded by an environment that does not match up with the environment within us? And so really I've just been praying into that. God, like, what do I need to teach and where do I need to go? And how do we need to be talking and reading and praying and all of those things? And he took me back to our kind of original, not original, a few years ago, we came up with this idea, and you've probably heard it or seen it or something, but the idea of pursue God, love people, and engage life. And we kind of prayerfully thought through, who are we and what are we trying to do? And we came up with this kind of easy, quick phrase. We are a people that we want to be pursuing God. We want to love people really well. And we want to engage in the life around us. And so I'm going to take the next at least couple weeks and kind of relook at these three ideas, these three parts of our church culture, parts of our church identity, because I feel that to be who we need to be anywhere, we've got to be who we need to be in here first. And so I'm going to talk about why, I'm going to talk about pursuing God today, I'm going to talk about why we chose that word pursue, the countless other words we could have chose to represent, but I believe that if we're going to know who we are out, we need to know who we are in. Because what we represent will be a presentation of what's in our heart. It just will. And so we need to have some centered kingdom mindsets, perspectives, motivations. So when we... You know, I just keep picturing this, the Daniel. There's not a whole lot of the interactions that that Daniel had with the kings that he served. But we know for whatever reason they had completely different value system, and the king loved Daniel and Daniel loved the king. But what does it tell us? What it tells us is that it is possible. That's the biggest thing, is that that's possible. It's possible to truly love someone that has completely different value system than you. And maybe what's even more amazing is it's possible for someone that has a completely different value system to love and respect you. And that's where we are. That's where we're entertaining this idea of this is possible to really love a world that has completely different value systems. Don't pretend, don't just serve them, but actually love them. And that it really is possible for a world that doesn't agree necessarily, doesn't understand necessarily, but it's possible for a world to love and respect the church. Amazing concept, but I think that that's really the idea that was being shared, that Eric shared, that it's possible. This is possible. And as we all know, we're not there yet. At some levels, we see some of this relationship beginning to blossom, the relationship between believers and government, believers and business. You know, if you've ever seen or heard or read the messages on the seven pillars and all that, so that's a whole other thing I'm not talking about. But it's a great, great message. A couple people give it a couple different ways. But this idea that we can love them and they can love us without being us and them is going to take some mind change. It's going to take some shifting in the way we think, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves. And so I want to start with these three things that identify really who we are and what we believe and where we're going as a church, so you can feel like you know who at least we are, if that makes sense. So pursuing God. Really, the point is the importance of putting God first. And it's really just a way to say that above everything else, in everything, we have to put God first, and we have to put our connection, relationship with Him above all else. And as a church, and that obviously some might sound like, well, of course we do. But it has to reach the deepest parts of our core values and the way we think and the decisions that we make. We had a big decision that we made, I don't know, maybe it was a year ago by now, maybe not quite a year, to make an effort, a conscious effort, to shorten our service. So you guys remember that? I don't know. How long ago was that? Seems like a long time ago. But we had this conversation. It went on for quite a while, actually. And it was this idea. And it was me and all of our staff and all of our team protecting the idea that first and foremost, our priority is our relationship with God, our pursuit of God. And if that doesn't give you ruffle some feathers when you talk about shortening worship, wait a second, because it is this deep core value that actually the most important thing is our relationship, our pursuit of His presence in our lives, the relationship and His presence in our lives. But what we realize is that as we through a series of conversations, which I'm not going to bring up the whole thing because we've already done all that. But the point being is that we came to this conclusion that that actually pursuing God, that this was actually the direction that He was in. That makes sense. And I'm not going to do it justice in this conversation, in this message, because it was a lot of conversation. But we realize that this balance between just doing what we've always done for the sake of because we've always done it, and actually going, okay, God, what do you have for Mountain Chapel? What we didn't do is decide to shorten our service to prioritize trying to get more people here. And that came up. Like, well, we talked about culture. We talked about the fact that, like, man, it's just a long time for people to sit for 2.5 hours, which is about the length of our service. It's just a long time, and people will come more. I think people don't come. So it was part of our conversation, but what we realize is that we won't make our decision based on that truth, because it's not our most important decision. It's not our most important core value. Our most important core value is to protect the idea that first and foremost, we're pursuing God. We're pursuing a relationship with God. Does this line up with that? Does that make sense? Are you with me? Okay. Yeah, so why pursue and not just love the Lord? From what I could find, the scriptures say, love the Lord, command us to love the Lord 17 times. But the scriptures talk about seeking the Lord 83 times. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that seeking is more important than loving or anything like that. What we're doing really is we're defining, at some level, the words we use are semantics. They're just words. And if you like the word love, then you can use the word love to describe what I'm going to just take the next 20 minutes or so to describe. And I'm going to describe why I think it's pursue for me. The point is not that we argue over the semantics of the word, but that we get the idea that there's movement involved. That it's more than just... I'll say this. In our culture, the word love, while it has pure meaning in Scripture, the word love has lost some of its zip. It's lost some of its power. Now, does that mean love hasn't lost some of its power? Don't hear me wrong. The word love in our culture has lost some of its power. We use the same word, you know, in Scripture. There's, I think, 6 or 7 different words for different things to describe and our relationship with and our attraction towards people, things, and all that stuff. So we've lost some of that. We use love. Love covers a whole multitude of things. And so we are going to... this isn't to demean love, but to actually kind of lift up the word pursue and why we're using the word pursue. Hebrews 11:6. I'm going to throw out a whole bunch of verses, and you can... I'm probably not going to give you time to turn to them all, but Hebrews 11:6, it talks about Him rewarding those who seek Him. I want us to be known as a people that are moving toward Him with our lives. There's a whole bunch of people that say that they believe in God. A whole bunch of them. In fact, I think we still belong to a nation that says that they believe in God. There's maybe a little bit less, but there's a whole lot of people that say that they love God. I want to be in the group of people that is pursuing God. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I know that the word pursue seems to encapsulate all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength better for me. I know either word works. So what does it mean to pursue God? Pursue God is action. It's about moving, following, investigating, exploring. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What if I said we're going to have a race? You can start from your seat, and whoever wins gets $100. Ready, set, go. Yeah. That's the first question you got to ask. Where are we going? What are we racing to? Where's the finish line? How are we going to know who won? The idea of pursuing, if you're going to pursue, you have to have an object of your, I don't know what the plural of, I don't know. You have to, the object of your pursuing? Pursuit. The object of your pursuit. I don't even know if that's right, but okay. Works good enough. You know what I mean? You have to know where you're going. You have to have a goal. We're charged to run in such a way as to win the prize. We're charged to run this race marked out for us. There's movement. There's a pursuit. We should be known by how we move and what we move toward. What we're moving toward. I want to be known as a church that's after God. I don't mean after God, I mean after. Running after, pursuing, investigating, just this active discovering, exploring who God is. Bringing that kingdom to earth. I want to be known as a place where people say if you're looking for God, there's a whole bunch of those people up on them. We find them every week and we keep looking. We find them every day, but we keep looking. We keep pursuing. The word pursue for me helps me keep Him, God, as a clear destination. That I'm actually, this relationship that I have, I'm charged to be moving towards something. I think that oftentimes, I'm going to get to it later, actually. I'm jumping my notes. Sorry. Something that happens as we pursue Him, as we move toward a deeper relationship, we also discover what we were created for. So a call to pursue is also a call to discover who you were created to be. Matthew 4:19, when Jesus called disciples, He said, "Come and follow Me. I'll make you fishers of men." It was first the invitation to follow. Secondly, the invitation to what you're going to do. What does it mean to follow? I feel like there's so much of our identity, so much of who we are, is wrapped up in this journey toward Him. And we are, it's fully available to find Him and stop pursuing Him and remain in one place. Saved as it may be. Does that make sense? I found myself there a few times in my life. Sitting down, confident in my finding of salvation, but not feeling like I'm moving anywhere fast. Not feeling like I've got a new revelation of who God is and who He's made me in the recent past. Does that make sense? I think that there's enough of God, and there's actually enough of you to discover something new every day. And I believe it's discovered on the road of pursuit towards Him. It's where we find it. We find other things pursuing other things. But who we really are, who we're really created to be, is only to be found on this road of pursuing Him. Pursue helps us understand, the word pursue helps us understand that we're on a journey to discover who He is and who we are. People on a journey think differently than people that have arrived. I'll say that again. People on a journey think differently than people that have arrived. I'll tell you what are some of the reasons, this is rhetorical, but think about some of the reasons or some of the things that you hear of how the culture out there identifies the culture in here. The world culture identifies the church culture, or how the Western culture identifies Christians, maybe. And a lot of those things in my mind connect to people that think they've arrived. not people on a journey. See, they think that we are people that think they've arrived. I think sometimes it's because we think we're people that have arrived. Look at me. Look at us. We're here. We arrived. And really, what we should have just discovered is the fact that we're on a journey. We're on this journey. When you're on a journey, it's a whole lot easier to talk about what you don't know. Because you haven't been there yet. You can talk about where you want to go. You can talk about where you're hopeful to go. But it's easy to talk about what you haven't discovered yet. Because you're on a journey. You know there's things to come. If you feel you've arrived, it's embarrassing to not know where you are. So oftentimes, to avoid embarrassment, we'll just pretend. Well, since I've arrived, let me tell you all about everything that I know about where I am. Right? Is this making sense? Is this making a connection? It's a lot more fun to be on a journey. It's a lot more fun to be with people that believe they're on a journey. It's more exciting. Yeah. People on a journey think differently than people that arrived. Pursuing God involves a chosen response. I love choice. It's one of the greatest gifts that God gave us, is the ability to choose. We get to choose what we respond to. We get to choose how we respond, but we also get to choose what we respond to. I found that oftentimes how we respond directly connects to what we're responding to, what we're putting in front of us. I want to read just a couple verses. There's a whole bunch of them, but these are just awesome responses in Psalms 17. It says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Psalms 9:1 says, "I will praise You, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all Your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High." Psalms 13 says, "I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me." Psalms 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." They go on and on and on and on. There's all kinds of these responses. This is how I'm going to respond, because this is who I've experienced God to be. Listen, you experience who God is in pursuit of Him. And as you pursue Him, you get to respond to Him. You get to respond to His goodness. You get to give thanks. You get to praise. Tell of His wonders. Be glad and rejoice. To sing and not to fear. Pursuing is about a response. Pursuing is also about a sacrifice. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" Pursuing God is this commitment that our life is no longer just about us. Again, a lot of what we're talking about is perspective. Just as I was talking about, people on a journey think differently than people that believe they've arrived. People that believe that their life is not just about them also think differently than people that don't, for obvious reasons. We say yes to things that we would say no to. We say no to things that we might say yes to. The way we think, the way we interact, the way we process is all different when your life is not just about you. Matthew 10:39 says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." There's something about pursuing God that's this all in. Yes. It's everything that I have is out on the table. What I love about walking in this, at least in this season, is God sits at the table and begins to slide things back to you as you journey. Not because you deserve it, not because you're entitled to it, but just because He chooses. That's amazing. You put it all out there and then He slides things back. Try that. See what you can do with that. Just like the parable of the talents, He gives us things to walk through. I don't mean challenges, I mean blessings as much as anything. He gives us these opportunities to continue to make Him the main thing. To continue our pursuit. It's one of my favorite stories, and Jesus is talking about first introducing the idea to a group about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. And of course, we know later on historically that He's talking about the breaking of the bread and the wine and the new covenant and all that stuff. But in the moment, nobody knows what's happening. Total confusion. And in that confusion, most people go, I'm out. And so He turns to the disciples and He says, what about you? And Simon Peter answers Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The pursuit of God is finding Him your destination, even in confusion. I don't want to equate my relationship with Him to what I can understand. That's thinking like someone who's arrived. I want to think like someone on a journey. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's on the other side of that hill. I can think about it. I can dream about it. I can hope about it. I can have faith for it. But I don't know what's up there. And I don't know what's out there. And I don't know what's coming. But God, You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, You're where I'm going. Not based on my understanding. Not based on my agreeing. But You're where I'm going. That's who we are. That's who this church is. If we're not doing things that we don't understand, we'll start. I'll just make that commitment. I don't want to boil God down to something that we can define and understand. It's important to understand things. I'm not saying that we don't understand anything or we don't know anything. But there's this idea that God is bigger than our understanding. And He has more than we'll ever get from Him. And so there's this conscious effort to continue to pursue Him as a body. First, I hope first individually, but consciously as a body to say, that's where we're going. Well, what's that? I don't know, but that's where God's at. So that's where we're going. What's going to be there? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. But that's where we're going. Because that's where God is. That's where we're going. Well, that's weird. It may be. That doesn't make any sense. Maybe not. I tell you what, one of the most humbling things in my life was the day that I kind of had this drawing, which actually doesn't look much like what we have now, but I had this drawing and this idea of a challenge course, a ropes course, and tried to tell our elders who have no idea what a challenge course or a ropes course is. And you know what they said? Okay. I mean, they said a lot of things, but at the end of the conversation, they said, we're going to trust you. You say this is where God's at? That's where we're going. You have the greatest group of elders on the planet in this place. I'm telling you. I've tried to sell a lot easier things and been shut down in places I've been. I thought, I won't even get into that, but it's hard to know what you have unless you don't have it. And we have it, so it's hard to know. But you have a group of people that will risk everything and trust for everything if they see God in it. And there's no greater quality. in leadership. There just isn't. The group of elders that you have, the group of leadership, really, that you have. And of course, we get distracted and we slip and all those things. But really, at the core of who we are, the most important thing is to pursue God. Is God in it? We come across good ideas that we just don't feel like, I don't see God over there. That's a great idea. But it doesn't feel like God. Acts 16:25, another one of my just favorite stories. I just love this story. The short version is Paul and Silas have been arrested and they're in jail. And 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. If you've read the story, the rest of the story, basically God shakes the prison and the doors fly open and ends up, you know, setting everybody free, and it's a crazy story. Read it, but there's something to knowing the context of what of them that we forget the moment. Knowing the context of what happens, we forget the moment. And if you read and study the lives of the disciples, at some point it doesn't happen good for them. At some point they get arrested. They get beaten and they get killed. So this isn't always the result, but their behavior was always the same. Their behavior was always praying and singing. Their behavior was always, no matter what's happening, complete desperation, dark and miserable and bleeding and beat. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to pursue God. Because that's what we do. That's who we are. And they did it all the way until they died. Until they were killed. For their pursuit of God. Amazing. That's who we're called to be. Even in victory, in Exodus, when Moses, again, I'm going to shorten the story, but when Moses actually, when God finally says that you can take the promised land, and Moses says, we're not going anywhere if you're not coming, because God's like, if I'm going to go, I'm just going to wipe you all out. You're just frustrating me. But you can go. And Moses says, no, we're not going. Why? The promised land is actually not our goal. God, you are our goal. We're not going anywhere. It's amazing. What they've been going for, what they've been going after. See, it wasn't something, it's not just good and bad. It's not just godly decisions or sinful decisions. This is the promised land that he laid and said, it's time to take and go into the promised land. This is what you came out here for. And he goes, no. God, we're not going without you. We can't go without you. That's who we're called to be. We're called to pursue you. We're called to live in your presence. We're called to. This is who we are. Whether we're there or here or there or going that, no matter what, that we're called to pursue you, God. Our actions, our identity, our responding, our response, our sacrifice, our commitment, it's simply our decision. Our choice to follow Him, to pursue Him. I love the way that Joshua says it is, for me and my house will serve the Lord. Just a very factual idea that there's a whole bunch we don't know, but what we do know is we're pursuing God. We're loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does that mean? I don't always know what that means. But that's what we're going to do. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, that's what we're going to do. If we see God doing something, we want to go do it. If we see Him blessing something, we want to partner with that. If we see Him building something, we want to grab a hammer. We pursue God. It's who we are. There's going to be a whole bunch of things that are beginning to happen, a whole bunch. It might be an overstatement. There's going to be some things that are happening and opportunities for us to engage as weather gets better and things change. We start moving into spring and in the next few months and 3 months. I don't know when spring happens, but sometime in front of us on the calendar. As that happens, there's going to be opportunities and there's going to be things happening, and I feel like there's tons of favor on our community interaction. I was telling Eric, and he was talking about community favor, and I was like, man, all those things, I feel like we have all those things. We have all this community favor. We're at the place where it's like, God, what do we do? What do we do with it? What do we do with the relationships we have and the favor and trust that we have? And so we're doing that. We're figuring that out. We're finding where God is. And that's all going to be coming. But I want you all to know that first and foremost, our pursuit of God can never leave the pinnacle of how we make our decisions. It's who we are. It's how we decide. It's how we choose. It's what we react to. And it's where we have to start. And this next thing we're going to talk about next week is as a core value, loving people. Pursuing God, loving people. That actually it's part of who we are. It's not just something we should do, but it's something we are. But it has to come from a place of pursuing God. It has to come from a place of we learn to love in our pursuit of the one that first loved us. We learn how to treat people because of the way He treats us. We learn how to respond because of the way He responds to us. And we only can learn that in our pursuit of Him. It's so important to get that core value right at the front. Yeah? Amen?
Amen.
You guys okay?
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yes.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. So next, a week from today, next Sunday, we're starting the culture. Did you announce that? Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not till later. I'm excited. It's coming fast. Yeah, I've been waiting for this series, honestly, for like years. Probably 6 years, I don't know. It's like, man, this needs to be, they have, you know, Bethel released a series, but this series on culture of honor, and it's got a workbook and things. So it's going to be epic, and it's going to change our lives, and it's going to be great. Exciting. So the seventh. I can wait. It's like Christmas. All right. Will you guys stand with me? Yeah. Lord, we just thank You for the rain. Thank You for the blessing on this land. And thank You that... yeah, thanks for the rain. We just pray... God, I just pray that You'd just continue to help us clarify and figure out what it means to pursue You with everything that we've got. Our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. To just go after You, to love You with everything. In every way. Lord, you just continue to pour out wisdom and revelation and understanding into this journey. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us think like people on a journey, not like people that have arrived. Yeah. Help us think like people on this journey. Excited to bring people along. Not someone that has arrived guarding the door of the entrance. But Lord, we're just excited about this journey that we're on. And yeah. So we just pray, just continued blessing. Bless this town and bless this county and bless this state. Bless this world, Lord. Just keep pouring out Your goodness. We're thankful for the season that we're in, the place that You've got us, and what You're telling us and where You're taking us. We just love You, worship You, God. Amen.
Yeah.